Yes. Amen. And it is my good pleasure. Amen. How many's enjoyed Reverend Sanchez? Amen. And his messages. Oh, I'll tell you what. Well, I should say his introductions. He has not preached one message yet. Brother David, you go back and tell your pastor he has not preached one message. Preached introductions is all he's done. Amen. But they got the message last night. Even the 5 minutes of the message, my daughter got it. Man, she got that 5 minute message. But I want to tell you something, it has been good. Amen. Been good. Amen. Let's just give him another warm welcome. Amen. To Ceres, Pennsylvania. Brother Sam.
Amen. The Lord is good, isn't He? All right, Sounds, you're doing good. They give me a little bit more power. Amen. I love the Lord. How many just excited to be here tonight? My goodness, you know, I thought so much about the extent that God goes through to get our attention. Amen. You know, from a little boy, I always knew God had a call on my life. You know, even though, you know, my mother at the time, she just went from church to church, could never really get settled in. But God still had a call on my life. I would get up and I would go out to the back porch with a Bible and just start preaching to the world. They thought I was crazy. But you know, somewhere growing up, you know, discouragement settled in of really not seeing really what I felt on the inside. So I thought I was going to do my own thing. Anybody ever been there? But God wouldn't let me go. Amen. I bought a new car. I said, I'm on my way to California. I'm going to be famous. God said, boy, you ain't going nowhere. And I got into a car accident that same day. Bought a new car. Got into a car accident. Hit by one police car, hit by another. They knocked my 60 feet. It slid into a tree and knocked my nephew and my best friend out of the car and pinned me up. They got out without a scratch, but not me. They pronounced me dead on the site. My head was busted from my eye to the top of my head. Lost a lot of blood at that time. They said, well, he's dead. At that time, my body, I saw my spirit floating. I looked down, saw my body. Somebody don't believe me, but that's okay. I was there. And I saw my spirit floating above my body. I looked down. I saw my mother at the corner trying to tell the officers, the firemen, no, that's my son, with a young girl named Linda Leske at that time. And I'm looking, and I didn't know what was going on until I looked down at myself, and I'm like, this got to be a dream. What is going on? And the heavens opened up, and God spoke to me and said, it's not time for you to die yet. So turn from your disobedience and follow me, and not a bone in your body shall be broken. Well, the next thing you know, they begin to scream, he's alive, he's alive. I don't know if I moved or what happened. And they rushed me into the hospital. You know, I had no memory at all. And then I just had short-term memory. They put the neck brace on me and everything, thinking that, you know, hey, you know, maybe some bones will be broken. Came back, no bone broken. Amen. God. Yeah, he's that good, isn't he? God showed up by my bed, swept me one more time. He said, go back and do my will. And you know, when I healed and was able to walk right, was able to fully remember everything, all that was left was the scar. And got enough money to get rid of the scar. But I always kept it as a reminder that when I look in the mirror, don't you ever turn back. There's a price to pay when you run from God. So I bear in my body a mark to remind me, fight a good fight of faith. And don't you ever turn around. Amen. Oh, my God, let us stand for the reading of the word tonight. I'll try to be calm and I'll try to be short, but I have no notes. So you know you're getting out early. You know that already. You know you're getting out early tonight. Pastor Frazier told me, don't do that. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4. Or John chapter 3, I'm sorry. Verse 30. John chapter 3, verse 30. Amen. If you're in Exodus, that was yesterday. Amen. You got to go to the New Testament. Amen. John chapter 3, verse 30. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
It says this. He must what?
Increase.
He must increase, but I must decrease. This morning we're going to talk about an end time anointing. Let's lift our hands and pray. Heavenly Father, Father, we ask tonight that you move in just a deeper way tonight. Because, Father, we need something, Lord, that's going to move this generation. Father, bless the words to your heart of your people. And, Father, and let it produce what you desire, we ask tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, 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 and amen again. You can be seated. We find, you know, in this verse of Scripture that this is spoken by John the Baptist. Amen. How many people have heard of John? Amen. John, for most theologians, is considered to be the last Old Testament and first New Testament prophet because he lived in the midst of a transition, in the midst of two different winds, two different dispensations, the ending of one and the beginning of another. Amen. And so we find that John the Baptist had an anointing on his life. Such an anointing that it captivated the hearts of his generation just with the sound of his voice. The Bible tells me they left the synagogues and temples of gold, and they left all the arenas, and they left all the fancy places to eat, and they could have been all these different places, but yet when John spoke, they was willing to leave it all to follow a man dressed in camel's hair, eating wild locusts and honey. Willing to leave it all to follow him to a wilderness to hear a message from what the religious world considered to be a wild man. What in the world did this man have that they was willing to leave it all to hear that message? What type of an anointing did John have on his life that they was willing to leave it all to follow him in the middle of nowhere to hear a message? There's no doubt in anybody's mind that this man that they consider to be crazy is actually called to God. He's not like anybody else. He doesn't act like them. He doesn't dress like them. He doesn't look like them. He's not afraid to deal with the issues of today. He's not afraid to look at the king and say, "You sleeping with somebody else's wife." He's not afraid to deal with the religious world. Come on here. But he'll lead a generation from where they are in the religious world into a desert to one day say, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." I don't know about you, but I need that type of an anointing. There's a world that's going to hell. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to hear the gospel. But if I could have such an anointing to cause them one more time to leave a religious world, turn their back on it all, to point to a Christ that is able to deliver them, oh God, give me that anointing. Hit your neighbor and say, is there anybody tonight that wants it? I heard the preacher this afternoon. What in the world is it going to take to stir a generation? I'm stirred in my heart about America. I'm stirred about the standards we let down. We took prayer out of school and we wonder why the devil took up residence. We make all types of decisions. We try to take God out of the schoolhouse and take God out of the courthouse and then wonder why you got anarchy and chaos and rebellion going everywhere. The Bible says that a nation that deserts God will go into desolation. What is it going to take? But I'll tell you what. 1-9-11 and every church is packed. People praying on the corner. People praying in the schools. People praying in the courthouse. Now we want God. There's trouble. Now everybody wants to run the church. Reminds me a whole lot about the rapture. There's a whole lot of people that couldn't make it here tonight that'll make it when all they see is your clothes on the floor and you ain't here no more. Uh-huh. But what is it going to take for us to turn a generation to the heart of God one more time? We're going to talk about this tonight. Hit your neighbor and say, I want an end time anointing. Hit your other neighbor and say, I want an end time anointing. I can't have what Moses had because Moses is gone. We could just use him as an example. And I can't even have what Peter and them had because what they had in their time was for their generation. But I need an anointing for this hour to deal with a devil who's trying to wind things up. But before Christ comes, there's going to be some signs and wonders that's going to follow some believers. And there will be manifestations from the sons of God. But it's going to be those that seek after it that will obtain it. So I'll tell your neighbor, are you one of those? Before there ever was a John the Baptist in Luke, we find that there was a Zechariah, who the Bible says was a righteous priest, and his wife Elizabeth. The Bible says they served God faithfully, but yet the Bible says this, but they had no child. Turn around and say your neighbor, they had no child. Reverend Sanchez, why are you saying that? Because this is very significant, because you have to understand, back then every mother and father wanted to have a child because the promise of the Messiah was still to come through a seed and everybody was looking to give birth to it. But yet Zacharias, he had no child. He never knew what it felt like to give life. He never knew what it felt like to have his desire fulfilled of bringing forth a son that may maybe be a prophet or maybe an apostle or maybe another person that stands in a temple. His wife is barren and his desire is left unfulfilled. I want to have a son, but I can't. And now I'm old and I'm stricken in years and I'm wondering if it'll ever even happen. And now, with every year that goes by, the possibility of him being even able to produce a child, now that his wife is so old, seems to slip further and further from his eyes. But yet and still, the Bible says he was faithful and he never complained. Did it ever seem like with all your labor and with all of your prayers, there's always some things in your life that you don't see with your eyes yet? Is there something that you're still waiting for that God has not seemed to brought into fruition? Hit your neighbor and say, I'm still waiting on my promise. Amen. I may not see it tonight and I may not see it tomorrow, but I'm still waiting on a promise. And it doesn't seem like it'll ever even come, but I refuse to give up on my faith because God has brought me too far for me to give up now. So I'm hanging on to a promise. And even though it doesn't look good, and even though it doesn't look like it's going to come to pass, I still come to church every time they open up the door with expectation in my heart because I'm waiting on a promise. Bible says Zacharias went into that temple every day and he never complained. You know, Pastor Frazier, it had to be hard for him to be a high priest. He had to dedicate that boy. He had to dedicate those babies. It had to be awfully hard to want to have a son yourself, but have to dedicate everybody else's when you know your wife is barren. I don't think you know what I'm talking about, but let me bring it up to date. Have you ever wanted God to heal you and you still got the disease, but somebody else was healed? You ever have pain in your body, but laid hands on somebody else and they got healed, but you laid on a couch that night with pain wrapped up in your body? I'm talking about holding up a promise when you won't even got yours. I'm talking, you pray for somebody else to have a home and you still ain't got one yourself. You watch somebody else get promoted, but you still don't have a job. But in the midst of it all, you're still hanging on for a promise. It may not be here today, but touch your neighbor and say, baby, it's coming. It's hard to hold up somebody else's child when you don't have one yourself. It hurts. He's discouraged, but he doesn't give up. and he doesn't complain. I can get in trouble right there. He holds his place and he does what God calls him to do, even though he's hurting. You ever praise God when it hurts? See, because real worship is not when everything is going good. That's not real worship. Real worship is not when Reverend Hamlet gets up here and throws something down inside of me, even though it's real worship in his heart. No, that's not real worship. Real worship is when you don't have a job, but you come through those doors with your hands raised. Real worship is when a doctor says you're dying of cancer, but you say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Real worship is when your husband don't come to church, but you still walk through the door with your kids saying, for God I live and for God I die. Blessed be the name. Wow! Is there any real worshipers in here tonight? Real worshipers is when you're the only youth in your church, but you still have Sunday school anyhow. Real worship is when nobody in church will praise God, but you stand up by yourself. Clap your hands by yourself. Run the altar by yourself. If nobody else will praise Him, my praise is not dependent on your reaction. My praise is based on my relationship with a God who is able to bring me out. Hit your neighbor and say, are you a real worshiper? Are you a real worshiper? He said, I worship God when it hurts. I do what God called me to do sometimes with tears in my eyes. Do you always feel like jumping for joy when you hit that platform? Sometimes because you got a REV in front of your name, people think you're Superman, that you don't feel pain, that you don't go through nothing. See, we got to learn to encourage ourselves. Ain't nobody going to always be there to pat you on the back and to give you an encouraging word. Brothers and sisters, you got to learn to encourage yourself. You got to learn to get in the Bible by yourself. You got to learn to get down on your knees like Paul and Silas in the midnight hour when all hell comes against you. Stripes on your back. But at midnight, your hands will get up and sing God a song of praise because God is faithful. Are there any true worshipers in here that says, I'll praise Him in a good time. I'll praise Him in a bad time. I'll praise Him when I'm sick. And I'll praise Him when I'm well. Hit three people and say, I'm a true worshiper. Even when that car don't start, I push the car in the corner and praise Him. I drink the last gallon of milk and praise Him. Look at an empty checkbook. You want to know why? Because my praise is not based on things. And my praise is not based on how fast you can sing or how loud you can preach. My praise is based on experience. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. You don't know the things that God brought me out of. I got to praise Him. I got to glorify Him. I got to clap my hands. I got to give God a shout. God has been too good to me. Zechariah said, I'm going to do this job even when it hurts. But in my heart, I want to have a child myself. But as we read on in the Bible says, and as Zacharias prepares to enter into the temple, we could preach 45 minutes on that. Because there's a whole lot of folks that don't prepare when they enter into the temple. So it'll take you 45 minutes to touch God. You ought to be ready when you come through that front door. Nobody ought to pump you up. You ought to know who God is. Nobody ought to tell you to march. You ought to march because you got the victory. Nobody should have to tell you to raise your hands. You ought to raise them every time you think about what He brought you out of. Every time you think about He saved you from sin. Every time you think about what He's done in your life and the miracles He did. You ought to throw up your hands and just give Him glory just because of who He is. And so He prepared to enter into the temple. Amen. He's lighting the candles, which I could preach a long time there because that's illumination. But I don't want to get into that right now. Because when the light is in the church, the devil has no place to hide. That's why more people sit in the back than in the front. Because you're afraid of the light. You're afraid sometimes that the Holy Ghost is going to reveal where you're really living. Not everybody. But when the light is turned on, the devil can't live in the light. But he can hide in shadows. But if you ever turn the light on, you don't have to ask the devil to go when you turn the light on. He has to go because he can't stand the light. You know, this building is made of natural electricity. If you turn the lights on, it becomes dark. That means darkness is around us automatically. And the only way it leaves is if somebody turns the light on. But you don't flick the switch and say, darkness, please go. You turn the light on and it automatically leaves because it can't dwell here anymore. I'm trying to tell you something. If you ever turn the light on, you don't got to beg the devil to go. He has to go automatically. Says he likes the temple light. All of a sudden an angel appears. It's Gabriel. And Gabriel says, Zacharias, I'm Gabriel. I just come from the presence of God with some good news for you. You're about to have a son. And he's going to be the forerunner of our Lord and Savior. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Now Zacharias should be rejoicing. He should be shouting. There should have been backflips in the temple. That should have been the title of my message. Backflips in the temple. But that's not what happened. He said, how can this be? Because I'm an old man. And my wife, she older than me. He don't quite say it that way. He says, she's well stricken in years. So that's, remember that. Don't call your wife old. Say, honey, you're well stricken. That may get you a biscuit, but you sure ain't getting no steak. What was he saying? It was hard for Zacharias to believe that after almost 90-something years, that God is going to send an angel to tell him today is the day you're about to be a daddy. It's hard sometimes for people to believe they can receive something that they never had before. That's the struggle. The struggle is in believing. It's in the in-between. It's that space of time in between a sickness and a healing, in between a prayer and an answer. There's that space that's in between where the church has got to hang on, but somewhere in between, Zacharias stopped believing. And now when the answer came, he says, there's no way this could be happening to me now. You ever got to a place in your life where God says he's going to give you all of these things, and then you wait and you wait and you wait, and now all of a sudden God says, today I'm giving it to you. But I don't feel nothing. That don't matter. But I'm not shaking and spinning, falling. That don't matter. But there's no shouting in the temple. That don't matter. There's no organist. There's no choir. That don't matter. God said, today, you're going to have it. But it was hard for him to believe that this is true. How could this be? Because it's going to take two of us, and I sure can't do it. And my wife, she's not about to give birth to nothing. See, that's how we get. And this is where we got to be careful in ministry, because sometimes we think when we get a certain age, we can't do certain things. And if we're not careful, the devil will tell you what you can't give birth to in your old age. But woo! But God is saying, Zacharias, this has nothing to do with your age, but it has everything to do with timing. The reason you didn't have a baby, it's not because you was cursed, but because your baby was called from the foundation of the world to be the forerunner of God's baby. He couldn't have came 40 years ago. He couldn't have came 60 years ago. So I waited for the right time. God told me to tell somebody in here, you may feel old, you may feel like it's not going to happen, you may feel like you wasted time, but you're smack dab in the middle of the will of God, and now is the time, and today is your day. Wow! You couldn't have got it before this, because it was a divine setup. Hit your neighbor and say it was a divine setup. God couldn't give it to you before today, because there was other things he had to orchestrate in the spirit. See, when they wanted to have a baby, Mary wasn't even born yet. So God held her womb. And some of you are looking to do certain things in ministry, and you're looking for certain types of anointing, and you're looking for God to open up certain doors, but there's certain things that God is waiting to align up before he gives it to you. And you thinking it's you. You thinking you cursed. You thinking you made a mistake. But it has nothing to do with any of those things. The devil is a lie, but it has everything to do with the timing and the orchestrating of an almighty God who's right on time. Hit your neighbor and say, he's on time. You may think he's late, but hit your neighbor and say, he's on time. He's on time. Don't you get caught up in what the world is doing. Don't you get caught up in everybody else having a baby, Zacharias. Your God is on time. He sent me. I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I'm a messenger. I've been here since the beginning. God never made a mistake. I've seen him in action. I've seen what he can do. I see him speak the world into existence. I was there when he said, let there be, and there was. He doesn't make a mistake. He's always on time. Wow! So you're not a mistake. We blame ourselves sometimes for where we are, because we think we should be greater. We think we should be more anointed. We think we should be like Bishop so-and-so. Or if I don't preach like Reverend Sanchez, I don't got it. The devil is a lie. We're all different. But God don't make no mistakes, Brother Kyle. He don't make no mistakes. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly where he puts you. Stop telling everybody your church ain't no good. Why did he put you there? He put you there to bring revival. You're the one that's going to stir the town. You're the one that's going to cause a miracle. Hit three people and say, he don't make mistakes, honey. He don't make mistakes. I may walk with a cane, but with my cane, I'll do the will of God. God don't make no mistakes. He's always on time. Stop worrying about when your son's coming, mama. There's a watch over your son. Stay faithful, mama. There's a time over your son. God's aligning things up. Keep coming to the temple.
Because if Zacharias would have quit, if Zacharias would have said, God didn't answer my prayer, today I'm not going to the temple, he would have missed his miracle. Because it was that day that God appointed for Gabriel to meet him in the temple. But if he was never there, he would have missed the word that will change his life. Hang on in there. Your word is coming in the temple. Wow!
You're not going to get this on Christian television. You're not going to get this on TV. Hit your neighbor and say, you're only going to get this in the temple. Hit your neighbor and say, you blessed you came. So many people say, you don't need a church. The devil is a lie. I don't read in my Bible, it says, and the Lord is coming back for individuals. Said he's coming back for a church that have made herself ready. Not one that's singing, I'm hanging on, I'm holding on, and repenting every week over the same sins when you know how to get your mess out of that life. Come on here, but the Bible says a church that's made herself ready without spot and without wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are there any believers here tonight? Washed in the blood, making yourself ready. Glad you're in the temple. Angel said, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Who are you? Now, this is where grace and mercy came in. Because God, I'm from Hartford, Connecticut, could have just slapped him up the side of his head. And said, forget you. You don't want to believe me? I'll pick somebody else. But mercy. Hit your neighbor and say, thank God for mercy. Because God didn't strip him of the promise, even though he didn't believe. There's times in your life, if you was honest, that you don't even believe God for half the things that God give you for. People get up and testify, God healed me. I knew it all along. No, you didn't. You were scared and you didn't believe. But he loved you so much, he healed you anyway. That's the real testimony. Pastor Coleman, there was times in my life that I couldn't believe God, but I was still his son. I was like the servant, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. What I see is too tragic, but because God loves me so much, he did it for me anyhow. When I didn't believe, when I didn't trust him, when I turned my back on him, God was still faithful. You ever struggle with unbelief? I'm the only one, because I did. I wondered how God was going to take this boy that didn't have much education, spent a quarter of my life with dyslexia, struggled and stayed back grades. Think God's going to call me and tell me I'm going to send you to countries around the world, put you before governors and kings of tribes, and send you to countries to preach to my people. How was God going to do this, Reverend Hamlin? How was he going to do this in my life? I was looking at all the natural reasons of why I wasn't qualified when I forgot the main thing that had nothing to do with my natural education, but had everything to do with a substance that he put in my spirit before the foundation of the world. God's got things inside of you that you don't even know about yet. But because of mercy, hit your neighbor and say, thank God for mercy. Because of mercy, the angel said, you still gonna have a baby, but I'm taking your voice. You still gonna have a baby, because that baby has to do with my plan, not you. So you're still going to have a baby, but I'm taking your voice, but I'm not taking your position. you still got to go to the temple anyhow and do your assignments. But every time you open up your mouth, nothing's coming out because I'm taking your voice. And I'm going to teach you to trust me. You know how hard it is to be a preacher and not be able to speak? That's what you call super discouragement. But he rejoiced in his heart knowing there's a son coming. Zacharias, sometimes there's a penalty for the decisions that we make, even if there's no hindrance to the promise. In other words, Jacob, you're going to wrestle an angel and you're going to be blessed, but you're going to limp. Because every time you limp, you're going to remember. Yeah. Zacharias, you're still going to have a son, but every time you're going to remember the decision you made. But you're still going to have a son. So turn around and tell your neighbor, congratulations, you're having a baby. I know you may look like a grandma or grandpa, but turn around and tell them again, congratulations. You're having a baby. How do you act when you find out you're having a baby? When it's in wedlock and everything is going good and it's your desire. How do you act? Do you act like me? Do you show people that little picture that look like a frog, but they tell you it's a baby and you believe it? Do you tell everybody, we're having a baby? Can you believe it? We're having a baby. Because you know what a baby represents? It represents new life. For 90-something years, there's no new life in the ministry. No new ministries breaking forth. It seems like everything is about to die. But now an angel shows up to say, I remember a promise that I made that I made to Adam in the garden, saying there's a generation coming, you're going to bruise their heel, but they're going to bruise your head. He said, I remember a covenant I made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And today is the announcement that it's almost here. Congratulations, you're having a baby. Shake about three people's hands with the excitement that you're having a baby. And say, congratulations. Come on, shake some more hands and say, you know, you don't look like you could have one, but congratulations, you have a baby in you. My God, you could barely walk yourself. You should be in diapers, but praise the Lord, you're having a baby. Zacharias, who going to tell my wife? Think about Elizabeth. Because when you couldn't have a child, they considered you to be cursed. There's something wrong with you. You don't even deserve to be in the temple. You can't bear a son for your husband. And can you imagine the talk every time she went to the well to get someone to look at her? Mm-hmm. She thinks she all fat in a bag of chips. Her husband is a high priest and she can't even give him a baby. Look at me. I got eight. Shanika, Shaquanda, Shamaka, Shamuka, and Shemaya. Oh yeah, and JoJo. Don't forget JoJo. I got eight. Who she thinks she is? But Elizabeth didn't say a word. The Bible says she was faithful to God in prayer. She didn't enter into the gossip. Because see, when you write, you don't got to defend yourself. When you know how you're living, you don't got to defend yourself. So she just went to the well. Oh yeah, because When my wife told me she was pregnant, I said, yeah, and I'm Santa Claus in 6th dwells. I was on a mission field, so I didn't believe her. Because she would always tell me she was pregnant. I'm going to get in trouble. Every month, I'm pregnant. I feel it. I know my body. I said, honey, if you buy another kit, we're going to be living off of peanut butter and jelly for the rest of our lives. Stop buying those pregnancy kits. Anybody got room in their trailer tonight? I feel something bad coming up. And we bought so many kits, they sent us a letter from the kit place saying, thank you for keeping our company in business. She told me, I'm pregnant. It was hard for me to believe it. Listen to me. You want to know why? Because I couldn't see it. And she couldn't feel it. So you needed somebody who can look inside to see if what you were saying is real. When God first deposits something in your spirit, you don't see it. And that's why when God speaks to you, He usually speaks to you in threes. The first word is preparation. You're having a baby. Prepare. God always tells you what He's going to do before He does it. So that there's time for you to prepare for what He is about to do. So I'll tell your neighbor, prepare. First word is preparation. Second word is impartation. Right in your spirit. Because you prepared yourself for it. And then the third word is manifestation. Because in a little while you're going to see with your own eyes what the Lord has spoken to you. So now nobody believes. But Elizabeth don't say a word. She keep going to the well like everybody told her. She ain't say nothing, Brother Coleman. Till about 6 months. And one day she was walking to the well and everybody's looking at her. And all of a sudden she turned. My belly comes in handy for this one. She don't got to tell nobody nothing. She just kind of walking close to them. Isn't this a nice day? Isn't the weather? And they all like, that woman 99 years old. That's right, baby. Look at me now. Look at me now. See, because when you're really blessed, you don't got to tell nobody. They'll see it for themselves. You don't got to pump yourself up. You don't got to brag about where you've been. People will see it on you when you're really blessed. Can you imagine how she felt? You said, I'll never have a baby. You said that God will never do it for me. You said I could never have it. But look at me now, I'm 99, and God has answered my prayer. Come on, turn around and tell your neighbor, I don't care how long you gotta wait. Say, when it's all over, there's gonna be some shouting in the temple. I said there's gonna be, wow, some shouting in the temple. You may have to wait 99 years, but before you die, you will hold your promise. Now, at the same time that this is going on, angel goes to Mary. And he says, Hail Mary, thou art blessed and highly favored. Who in the world is Mary? Watch this. She's not the daughter of a king. She's not from a rich family. She's not the daughter of a prophet. She's not born in a king's house. She's not of royalty. You never hear her name mentioned through the whole Bible. And all of a sudden, it's as if God hid her from the devil in the world to pull her to the front lines and uncover her. Hit your neighbors, say, that's the church. Because some of you have been wondering why God has not pulled the cover over your ministry. But God has hid you to train you and to protect you and to anoint you for an appointed time such as this, to uncover you to the world and say, this is the seed that's going to produce Christ. pulls her to the front line and says, "You're going to give birth to the Son of the Most High." And Mary said a word that I think I would say. How? She wasn't even Mohican. How? Seeing that I know not a man. You ever ask that question? When God call you, you ever say, how is this going to happen? God says, take a mission trip. How? I ain't got no money. God said, be a pastor. How? I can't even read. God said, build a church. How? We only got $3 in a nominator. How is this going to happen? Is the question everybody asks. And the answer is the same. The Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. And the power of the Most High is going to do it. Somebody lift your hands and praise Him right there. I'm answering somebody's question right now. Because you're wondering, God, how you're going to do it? How you're going to get me there? How we're going to build it? I'm answering you now for God. The power of the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. And the Most High God is going to do it through you. It's not about you. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. Hit three people and say it's a work of the Holy Ghost. I said hit three people. You tap them. I said hit three people and tell them like you mean it. And say it's a work of the Holy Ghost. This ain't no work of the school. It ain't no work of the flesh. It ain't no work of carnality. It ain't no work of the world. It ain't no work of the devil. It ain't no work of religion. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. The only way you're going to do this is by His Spirit. There's no counterfeit. There's no substitute. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. I can only do this by a working of the Holy Ghost. Turn around and tell your neighbor, you can't produce Christ in the flesh. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. You hear me? It's a work of the Holy Ghost. How am I going to lead that youth group? It's a work of the Holy Ghost. Shanamahanamahaya. How am I going to sing that song? It's a work of the Holy Ghost. Get so anointed when you sing, demons have to leave off of people like they did with Saul. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. How is it going to happen? It's a working of the Holy Spirit. I must allow the Spirit of God to so work in my life that the life of Christ flows through my body, where I can stand like Paul and say, I'm dead, but the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It is no longer I, but Christ that liveth in me. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. Hit your neighbor and confess. I can't do this by myself. Reverend Hammond, I tried. I tried as a young preacher. I tried to preach by myself. I know I'm the only one. I tried to sing by myself. I tried to work this by myself. But I came up empty. I came up short. I learned to depend on Him. I can't do it by myself. Mama, you can't raise your kids by yourself. Daddy, you can't watch your home by yourself. Pastor, you can't preach by yourself. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. It's a work of that Holy Spirit. I must give Him right away in this temple. You can come to that altar and get nothing unless you yield what you said to me yesterday. The bush yielded to the fire and God spoke through it. Hit your neighbor and say, give God the right away. Mary said, be it done unto me. Anybody want to lift your hands and say, God, be it done unto me. Somebody praise Him right there. He cut up a whole shanamahaya. Hey, oh, be it unto me, oh God. Now God says, Mary, I need you to do something for me. I need you to leave everything you know. I need you to leave your comfort zone. Because see, we get used to doing everything in a pattern. This is when we sing. This is when we give the offering. This is when we shout. This is when we run. And we get so used to that you can make Pentecost a religion. Because we're so controlled by people. And if God told you to get up and run around the building, you sit there out of fear. You didn't know you was going to be my Mary. Come on, Mary. I said, Mary, this is going to be hard because you're breaking status quo right here. You're about to leave your house. Taboo number one. You're about to leave your fiance. Taboo number two. They're going to talk about you like a dog, Mary. People are going to make fun of you. Matter of fact, you could be stoned to death if you even tell anybody your experience. Because the world can't understand what Christ is doing in your spirit. You got a testimony that nobody else got, Mary, because they don't understand what's happening inside of you. So I got to take you from this environment, and I got to bring you somewhere else, but you got to be willing to go. So he says, I'm going to bring you somewhere. You're going to take a journey, Mary. You ain't even going to tell nobody where you're going. You're going to take a journey. You know what that represents? That represents a Christian being moved by the Spirit of God. Because the Bible says the wind bloweth where it lieth, and they can't tell whether it cometh or goeth. So are they that are led by the Spirit of God. There's sometimes that God will pick you out of that seat and you don't even know why. There's sometimes you start crying, but you don't even know why. There's sometimes your body starts trembling under the power of the Holy Ghost and you don't even know why. Because the wind is a blowing. I wish you'd tell your neighbor, because the wind is a blowing, and we can't tell whether it's coming or going. We can't give it. We can't organize this. We can't put a title on this. We can't figure this out, because God doesn't want us to. He just wants us to follow Him. Mary, I'm bringing you to a place, causing you to move from one dimension to another. But you got to be willing to take the journey, because you're about to give birth to something that's going to break the back of the devil. You're about to give birth to something that's going to rattle the gates of hell and break them asunder. You're about to give birth to something that's going to cause the temple veil to tear into two. You're about to give birth to something that's going to cause Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to dance in the bosom. But in order for that to happen, you got to be willing to come from where you are to where I want you to be. I'm sending you on a journey. Stay there. God is calling us, and it's in time to get out of our seats and get out of our comfort zones and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Get out of your routines. Get out of your, I'm just going to sit here and just say amen once in a while. I've got to be led by the Holy Ghost. If I'm not led by Him tonight, how is He going to lead me in the end time when the Bible says only those that pray shall escape? I've got to be led by that living, breathing, moving Spirit of the living God. Are you willing to be led? Mary, it hurts to be led. Mary, it's lonely to be led. Mary, everybody's not going to understand what's going on when you're led. But you got to go and do what God wants you to. I'm not talking to her, I'm talking to all of us. And I'm going to bring you to a place where people are going to understand you. That's why God gave you the parents that He gave you. And that's why God called you to the church that He called you to. Because God had to lead you to a place where people understood your calling. And they understand your ministry. And even though sometimes you may not think they understand, or you may not think they fully have the picture, God always puts you in a place where people can help develop what He put in your spirit. So I'm going to send you to Elizabeth. Because She knows how you feel. Come on, Elizabeth. Oh, yeah. You didn't know you was going to be Elizabeth tonight, did you? That's all right. I did. You look good for 99. What type of soap you use? Do you use oil of Olay? I'm going to send you to somebody who understands what I'm doing in your life. You can't call everybody about what God put in your spirit. You can't talk to everybody about what God put in your spirit. Everybody's not going to understand how God is leading you and where God is leading you, but God has assigned somebody who understands exactly what you're going through. God said, I'm going to send you to her. And this is what God says. I'm going to send you to Elizabeth, who was called barren. She was called barren. That used to be her name. Barren. She was called barren. They looked at her and they said, barren. She was called barren. But now, she's 6 months pregnant. Hit your neighbor and say, when God steps in on the scene, everything changes. See, because some of you were called liars. And some of you were called busybody. And some of you were called alcoholics. And some of you were called sinners. But not anymore. When God stepped in on the scene, something changed. Wow! Hit your neighbor, say, not anymore. I used to be a sinner. Hit your neighbor and say, not anymore. Say, the devil used to have me. Say, not anymore. Say, the world used to control me. But not anymore. Say, because God came in my life and as a new testimony, I've been changed by the power. Wow! My God, if anybody's in change, stand to your feet and give God a shout of praise. Preacher says somebody ought to testify. Turn around to three people and say, not anymore. Not anymore. I used to be that way, but not anymore. God made a change in my life. Sit down if you can. She was called barren because your God changes things. Your God can change whatever He touches. Your God can change your name. He can reverse your court case. He can make your boss change their mind. They were supposed to fire you, but they'll fire somebody else. Your God is a God of change. And when you serve Him, you walk in the midst of the miraculous. She was called barren. But now, she's pregnant. I want you to go see her. So she takes the journey. And the Bible says she comes to Elizabeth's house, and then they greet one another. Let's give one another a hug. Now hug and hold. Hold. Don't stop. Because to the world, this is how they picture the church of the natural. Just a bunch of people hugging. Just a bunch of people shouting and dancing over nothing. But you got to go a little bit deeper than that. Just a bunch of people running around, rolling on a carpet. And it looks to the world
like nothing is happening. It looks to the family like nothing is happening. It looks to the religious world like nothing is happening. But on the inside of this creation, there's a baby that's leaping and jumping under the power of the Holy Ghost. Something on the inside. Hit your neighbor and say, if you ever get on the inside, hit your other neighbor and say, if you ever get on the inside, the power of Christ activated an unborn baby, a fetus sent virtue that caused an unborn baby to understand who he was in the presence of. And some of us can sit down and never move while the Holy Ghost is moving. We never jump. We never run. We never clap our hands. We never glorify God when an unborn baby is cutting a step in the presence of the Holy Ghost. Somebody ought to rejoice. Somebody ought to shout. Somebody ought to praise Him. That power! Power! Grab your neighbor by the hand. Look him in the eye. And say this. If you ever get on the inside, something inside of you is going to leap. I don't think they heard you. Tell them again. Say, if you ever get on the inside, something inside of you is going to leap. Tell them again, I don't think they heard you. Say, if you ever get on the inside, something inside of you is going to leap. Tell them again, if you ever get on the inside, something inside of you is going to wow! Hit your neighbor and say, I know you're tired tonight. Say, I know you're tired tonight. But guess what? Like this. Let me tell you something. What God wants to do in your life is in you already. It just has to be activated. What God has called you to do is inside you already. It just has to be activated. And if you ever get deep enough in the Holy Ghost, something inside of you won't be still no more. It'll leap. It'll jump under the power. Brother, run up there and show him how to leap. Brother, run up there and show him how to leap. Brother Kyle, run up there and show him how to leap. Reverend Hammond, run up there and show him how to leap. Pastor Coleman, run up there and show him how to leap. Pastor Frazier, run up there and show him how to leap. Pastor Andrew, run up there and show him how to leap. Because if you ever get on the inside, something inside of you is gonna leap. As long as you're on the outside looking in, ain't nothing going to happen. As long as you want to be religious,
ain't nothing going to happen. As long as you come to camp meeting for just another camp meeting message, nothing is going to happen. But if you ever let the power of the Holy Spirit get on you, something is going to leave. Somebody shout. Oh my God! I'm trying to finish, but I feel something on me. I'm trying to finish, but I feel something on me. I'm trying to finish this message, but I feel the Spirit of God moving inside of this place. I feel the life-changing power of Almighty God trying to sweep through this auditorium to get a hold of somebody. Somebody prays about this. I can't help it. There's been a shifting in here because the Holy Spirit is planting seeds. There's people in here tonight. The Holy Spirit is putting a seed. He's impregnating you. I'm letting the Holy Ghost have a right away right now. Hey, God. Pastor Eastman, something is about to give birth in this place that you've been praying for. God says for over 20 years, and God says it's going to be birthed tonight. He shanamahaya. He caught off of shanamaha. He kanamahadamahaya. I'm the angel today, and my name ain't Gabriel, but I'm here to declare that you're about to have a baby. There's about to be new life in MEA. There's about to be anointed sons and anointed daughters such as this world has never seen before. It's pulling it on the scene. And God says you've been faithful because you've been the forerunners. Something is going to happen at this altar call tonight. And I don't know the extent of it, but it's going to be powerful. Hey, God. Let me bring this last point. Come here, Dad. The Bible says you have not many spiritual fathers. You that stand and stay standing. Because those of you that obey God, something's going to happen to you tonight. Mark the ones who are standing, because you're going to see what I'm talking about. Don't miss it tonight. God said the day came when John stood in the temple and he gave birth to a son. He's in the place. His son is being born in the church at the altar, not at some club somewhere. He's being born at the altar. They go to the mother and they say, what you going to name the child? She said, we're going to call him John. And the family got mad because they don't understand spiritual things. And there was a family fight right there at the altar. How dare you call him John? His father's name is Zacharias. Who do you think you are, breaking tradition? Don't you know what I... Your family traditions don't mean nothing in the presence of God! Stop being controlled by family and start being controlled by the power of the Holy Ghost! We let daddy tell of God. We let mama tell us we can't preach. We let great grandma tell us we can't go to missions. They don't know nothing about the Spirit of God. Leave spiritual things to spiritual people and stop being controlled by your family. If God said, name him John, name him John! So they run to Zacharias, who can't even speak yet. And they said, this is where they try to get you, divide and conquer. They didn't like what one said, so they go to somebody else. They don't like what Pastor Eastman say, so they try to run to somebody else. They don't like what Pastor Frazier say, so they run to somebody else to try to get somebody on their side so they can have more power. But the devil is a lie. Divide and conquer. But they go to him and they say, your wife said his name is going to be John. But we don't think his name should be John. What do you think his name is? So he took a tablet and he started to write. And then he lifted it up. And you know what it said? His name shall be called John. Because when you're really in the Holy Ghost, the wife will speak the same thing as the husband. The husband will say the same thing as the pastor. The pastor will say the same thing as the Sunday school teacher. The Sunday school teacher will say the same thing as the youth pastor. Because there's one God and one vision. Hold on to that. And the Bible says, and when he did it, his tongue was loosed. And he began to prophesy. Turn and tell your neighbor, God is about to loose your tongue. So that you can prophesy. He'd been waiting for over 90 years for this. He was looking for that one that was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And today was the day that the midwife, which is the Holy Ghost, was putting that new baby in your hands. This one, Pastor Eastman, is yours. This is your dream. This ain't some ministry down the street. This ain't something we saw on TV. This ain't somebody else's praise. This ain't somebody else's worship. This ain't somebody else's book. This ain't somebody else's TV. You gave birth to that. You prayed that through. You believed God for that. And today, you're holding your promise. And you know what he does? The Bible says he lifts it up and he dedicates it back to God. But that ministry won't stay a baby forever. It's going to grow from a little baby that you hold to one that talks. And you're going to teach it everything about the temple, the gold, the blue, the crimson, the oil, the lever, the mercy seat, the ark of the covenant, the unleavened bread, the salt covenant, the holies of holies. You're going to teach them all the sacrifices and the Passover and the blood. You're going to teach them how we came over the Red Sea and the God that did miracles for us. The cloud by day, the fire by night. You're going to teach everything to this generation. Hold his hand, son. You're going to teach everything you know to this generation. And you're going to teach everything you know. Hold his hand to this generation. And you're going to teach everything you know to this generation. Come here. You're going to teach everything you know. Come here. Grab the hand. Come here. Grab his hand. Come here. Grab his hand. Come here. Grab his hand. You. Come here. Grab his hand. You. Grab his hand. They just represent some. I know there's more here. You're going to teach everything you know about the temple, about the power, about the covenant, about the promise, about the anointing, about the weapons of warfare, about the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God who provides, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom. You're going to teach them about a God that cannot fail. My God, somebody shout. Somebody shout in here. Somebody shout. But there's going to be a difference in that generation. Because even though you trained him in the temple, he's going to the desert. Because what we taught them for our generation was who God is and what he can do in the order of the church. But in this end time, Jesus steps in on the scene and he says, take it to the streets. If they don't want to hear it in a church, go to the highways, go to the byways, and compel men to come in my house, that my house will be full. This end time anointing is for the grocery store. It's for college. It's for high school. It's when you walk the streets. When you're at the bus stop, the Spirit of God's going to talk to you. When you walk down the street, the Spirit of God's going to talk to you. This ain't some spirit you can box up. This ain't some spirit you can organize. It's like the wind. It's going to blow. It's going to lead you. He had an anointing on him that caused the generation to leave the bars. They leave the clubs. They left the religious world. Come here. Come here, Pastor. But I want to show you something. John the Baptist, mother and father, both prophesied. Filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Raised in the temple. knew everything about the promises of God, knew everything about the law, but he was a forerunner of Christ. That's the church. He was the one that got the people ready for a coming Messiah. That's the church. He's the one that said, look, I'm the one preaching. I'm the one with the anointing. But don't look at me, because behold, there's one coming whose sandals I'm not worthy to unloose. But when he comes, he's going to baptize you like he baptized me. Wow. Hallelujah! He had nothing. He lived in a desert. He owned no property. He wasn't married. He didn't have any kids. He lived in a wilderness off of what God provided. He owned nothing. But yet, when he saw Jesus, he said, he must increase and I must decrease. But he didn't have nothing. He didn't own nothing. He was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. He led the way for the Messiah. But when he saw the holiness and the righteousness of an almighty God, he said, woe is me. I'm undone. He must increase and I got to decrease. You want to know how you get more anointing? It's when the more you die, the more you decrease, the more God's going to fill you. The more you decrease, the more God's going to fill you. The more you decrease, the more God's going to fill you. I got to decrease my thoughts, my will, my plan, my desires, my dreams. I got to let them all die that I may obtain him. And even though all the crowds were there, because the crowds are going to come. You hear me? The young people are going to come, because God is going to give you an anointing to pull them out of the bar, to pull them out of the movie, to pull them out of the sex house, pull them out of the porno shop. I wish somebody would help me here tonight. He's going to give you an anointing to pull them off the streets. And when they come to you, don't say, look at me. Look at how anointed I am. Look at how great I preach. Just say, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Follow him. Follow him. Stand to your feet. He said, pour everything you have in this generation. But God says, you're going to take it to the field. You're going to take it to the desert. You're going to take it to the streets. You're going to take it to the prison. You're going to take it to Dominican Republic. You're going to take it to Olean. You're going to take it to where all these churches are. And you're going to stop complaining about how God ain't doing something. And you're going to get off your seat. And you're going to take the anointing to the streets. And you're going to watch God manifest. You're going to be like Peter and say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the power of a living God is going to manifest in your life. He said, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. In your sons, oh my God, oh my God, and your sons and your daughters. He already set it up for me. They're going to prophesy. You know what that means? That don't mean thus saith the Lord. That word prophesy means to preach. It means to speak with the anointing. It means to declare the word of God. When the devil says it can't be done, you'll say in the name of Jesus, yes it can, by the authority of the word. Tonight, God spoke to me, Pastor, and said he's pouring out and anointing. He didn't say trickle. He didn't say touch. He spoke to me in prayer and says, I'm pouring out an anointing so that my people can win the world. If you want it, come run into this altar real quick. Musicians, come quick. Turn around and face this altar and lift your hands. If you want God to saturate you with this end time anointing, I want you to start seeking Him tonight like you never sought Him before, because there's a power, there's an anointing that's coming down in this house tonight to win the world. Play something with Holy Ghost power. Start to seek Him tonight. Start to get lost in His presence. Forget everybody that's around you. The angels coming to you and say, congratulations, you're having a baby. I'm impregnating you with something that's going to change the world. Come on and praise Him. Come on, call out to Him. Come on, get deep. Get in His presence where something inside of you is going to leap for joy under the power.
Send it on down, send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on. Send down the power, let it pour like rain, as we lift our praises. Send it on down, Lord. Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. Heavenly Father, won't you hear our song? Let your Holy Spirit fall. Send down the power, let it pour like rain. As we lift our praises to your name. Send it on down. we shake this house. Oh, shake this house. Shake this house. Oh, let the glory of the Lord come down. We need a great outpouring. Shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake this house. Shake this house. Shake this house. Let the glory of the Lord come down. We need a great outpouring. Shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake this house. Shake this house. Shake this house. Let the glory of the Lord come down. We need a great outpouring. Shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake this house. Shake this house, shake this house. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring. Shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake this house. Shake this house, shake this house. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring.
My God, somebody praise Him. Somebody looking for an end time. Anointing that the power of God overshadow you.
Let the glory of the Lord come down. We need a great outpouring. Shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake this house. Shake this house. Shake this house. Let the glory of the Lord come on down. We need a great outpouring. Shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake this house. Oh, shake this house. Shake this house.
Oh, come on.
Of the Lord, come on down. We need a great outpouring. Shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake this house. Shake this house. Shake this house. Let the glory of the Lord, let it come on down. I need a great outpouring. Shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake this house. Shake this house. Shake this house. Let the glory of the Lord come on down. I need a great outpouring. Shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake this house. Oh, shake this house. Shake this house. Let the glory of the Lord come on. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake this house. Shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. And let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring. Shower down your glory.
Come on, Holy Spirit, shake this house.
Shake me, Lord. Oh, shake me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come on down. I need a great outpouring. Shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Oh, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Let your glory all come down. I need a great outpouring. Shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Let your glory of the Lord come on down. I need a great outpouring. Shower down. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Oh, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come on down. I need a great outpouring. Shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Oh, let it come on down. I need a great outpouring. Shower down. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. 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 I need a great outpouring. Shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Let the
take me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come on down. I need a great outpouring, so shout out your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit.
Somebody praise Him.
Me, Lord.
Somebody worship Him.
Take
somebody
me,
glorify Him. Let the power
shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come on down, for I need a great outpouring. So shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come on down. I need a great outpouring. So shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come on down. I need a great outpouring. So shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring, so shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring. So
somebody praise Him. Somebody glorify Him.
Holy Spirit,
somebody worship Him.
Lord, take me, Lord.
Take me, Lord.
Shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come on down. We need a great
He's here. He's here. His Spirit is still flowing in His house. He's here. Let Him impregnate you. Let Him baptize you. Let Him anoint you. He's here.
Come down. I need a great outpouring. So shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit. Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord.
Let Him touch you. Let Him change you. Let Him baptize you in a fresh anointing.
I need a great outpouring. So shower down your glory. Come on. I need a great outpouring, so shower down your glory. Lord, take me, Lord, take me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring, so shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come on down, for I need a great outpouring, so shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring, so shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come on down, for I need a great outpouring. Just shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring. Just shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come on down. I need a great outpouring to shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. take me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring. Just shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. I need a great outpouring. Just shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring. Just shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring. Just shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring. Just shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring. Just shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring. So shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring. Just shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring. Just shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring. So shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring. Just shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring. Just shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring. Just shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring. So shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring. To shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring. So shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring. So shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Let the holy of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring. So shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring. So shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring to shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring to shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come on down. I need a great outpouring to shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Take me, Lord, let the glory of the Lord come on down, for I need a great outpouring to shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring to shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come on down. I need a great outpouring to shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Let the home of the Lord come on down. For I need a great outpouring to shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come on down. I need a great outpouring to shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come on down, for I need a great outpouring to shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring to shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Shake me, Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. I need a great outpouring to shower down your glory. Come on, Holy Spirit, shake me, Lord.
Keeping me.
Keeping me alive, yes, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive, yes, it's all over me, and
it's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. I got it, and I know it. It's keeping me alive. Oh. Oh, I got it and I know it. It's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost, that power. It's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost, that power. Keeping me alive. Jesus, keeping me alive. I got it and I know it. It's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Oh, do you have it tonight? Well, I got it and I know it. It's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me. And it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me.
And it's
keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me. And it's keeping me alive. Oh, keeping me. Keeping me alive. Oh, let's rejoice in the Lord. Oh, Jesus is keeping me alive. I got it and I know it. It's keeping me alive. Oh, do you know you have it? Keeping me alive. I got it and I know it. Keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. I got it and I know it. It's keeping me alive. Keeping me. Keeping me alive. I got it. I know it. It's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me. It's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. It's all over me. It's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost and power. Keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive, keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost and power, keeping me alive. Jesus, keeping me alive. Oh, it's the Holy Ghost and power. Oh, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost and power, keeping me alive. My Jesus is keeping me alive.
Over me,
and it's keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. It's coming down from heaven. It's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. It's coming down from heaven. It's keeping me alive.
Jesus is keeping me alive. Yes,
it's coming down from heaven. It's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. It's coming down from heaven. It's keeping me alive.
Oh, Jesus, it's keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive.
Oh, rejoice in the presence of the Lord. It's keeping us alive. Jesus is keeping us alive. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me. It's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Oh, it's coming down from heaven. It's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive.
Keeping me alive.
It's coming down from heaven. It's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost and power. It's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost and power. Keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Oh, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive, keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me. It's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. I got it. I know it. It's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. I got it. I know it. It's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Oh, I got it. And I know. Keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. I got it, I know it. It's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me. Keeping me alive. Oh, I got it, and I know it. It's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Oh, I got it. I know it. It's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Oh, I got it. I know it. It's keeping me alive. Oh, you have it tonight. Keeping me alive. Got it. And I know it. It's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. I got it. I know it. It's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Oh, I got it. I know it. It's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me. Oh, let's rejoice tonight.
It's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. You know it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. You know,
Jesus is keeping me alive. It's coming down from heaven. It's keeping me alive. Oh, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. It's coming down from heaven. Oh, Jesus is keeping me alive. Oh, it's coming down from heaven. It's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. It's coming down from heaven. It's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive.
Yes, it's keeping me alive. You know it's keeping me alive. Yes, it's all over me,
and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive.
Yes, it's
keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. I got it, and I know it. It's keeping me alive. Oh, keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. I got it, and I know it. It's keeping me alive.
Jesus is keeping me alive. keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. Oh, it's the Holy Ghost and power, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Oh, I got it and I know it, and it's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. Yes, I got it and I know it, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost and power, and it's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost and power, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, Jesus is keeping me alive. Oh, it's sent down from heaven, and it's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. Yes, it's sent down from heaven, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, Jesus is keeping me alive. For it's the Holy Ghost and power, and it's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost and power, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Oh, I got it and I know it, and it's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. Yes, I got it and I know it, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. For it's the Holy Ghost in power, it's keeping me alive. Oh, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost in power, it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Well, I got it and I know it, and it's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. Yes, I got it and I know it, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Well, no devil can take it, cause it's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. Oh, no devil can take it, cause it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. For it's the Holy Ghost and power, and it's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost and power, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Oh, I got it from the heaven, and it's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. Well, I got it from heaven, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Oh, it's the Holy Ghost and power, and it's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, oh, keeping me alive. Well, I got it and I know it, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Well, it's sent down from heaven, and it's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. Yes, it's sent down from heaven, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Jesus. Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, oh.
Around here tonight. He's working. Hallelujah. I see him working on even some of the real small children just weeping before the Lord. Hallelujah. And us old timers have to let go and get rid of our baggage so he can work on us. Amen. Hallelujah. Just weeping and tears flowing out of several of these just young ones. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. He's ministered and worked, and amen, he's still working. Hallelujah. Some of you think you're ready to get out of here. You might not even get out of here for a while. Hallelujah. Amen. Head for the door. You might not even be able to find it tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's done a work. Amen. He's done a work. Hallelujah. From saving souls to who knows what tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. If you're still holding on and haven't received, amen, you just maintain your ways before God and love God and serve God and follow the Lord. You're serving Him. Hallelujah. And keep reaching out to Him. Hallelujah. Every so often I have to talk to my soul. Say, come on and bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah. Come on. You're dragging your feet. You better get in there and you better get loosened up and freed up and get in there and get a hold of God. Hallelujah. Oh, mighty God that we serve. Hallelujah. I'm not, amen, going to close this service. Amen. Hallelujah. They may want to play and sing a while longer. Hallelujah. Amen. There's still people slain in the Spirit. And amen, people that's calling on the Lord. Some of you are just sitting in the presence of God. Hallelujah. There's no better place than in the presence of God. Hallelujah. He's right here tonight. Hallelujah. How many know He's done something tonight? Amen. Whoever feels He didn't do much for you, you thank God He's done something for everybody else. And He does the half that's not yet been seen. Or, amen. Half of what God has done here tonight. You've seen. I couldn't see it all, everything. And people that were reaching out to God, neither could any of you. But amen. We'll get reports on up the road. Hallelujah. We want to go forth in the power of the Spirit, not in, amen, ourselves. We want to go in the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let the Lord reach and down and keep His hand upon us. Hallelujah. And get the territory that we've lost. Take it back. Amen. And just get into the Spirit of God and follow the Lord. Hallelujah. What a God that we serve. You can sing a while, just pray a while, worship the Lord. Amen. When you want to go, the cafeteria will stay open so long. Pretty soon they'll just shut it up, and that's okay. If that's burning on you, you better get in there. If not, just if it's burning on you to stay in here a while, just stay in here. Worship the Lord. You can walk around and praise God. Come to the altar. You can, amen, sit in your seat. Amen. Let the Lord move and work. He has met us tonight. Father, we just want to say thank you for moving and meeting us tonight. We thank you for all that have obeyed you tonight, from the preaching of the word, for every part of the service, God. We thank you, Lord, for all of that. Thank you for people that have been drawn to you and yielded themselves to you, God. Hallelujah. And Lord, we thank you for what you have done for them, God. Lord, changes and differences are going to be there. We thank you for touching these little children tonight, God. Hallelujah. And all the big children that have reached out to you. Hallelujah. We just, God, keep, Lord, you in our heart here on this campground. Be with some that have to go down the road. Bring them back tomorrow. We pray, God, all night long, you're going to be with us all. Thank you for your love. Hallelujah. I wouldn't be surprised if some of you may have visions and some dreams tonight. And amen. God's speaking to you, maybe calling some of you to ministry. Amen. To do something for the Lord. Hallelujah. You may have already, but you're in that kind of a presence when that can happen. You're in that kind of a presence too when, amen, a cancer can go, and amen, a troubled mind can be straightened out. You're right in that presence right now. He's here. So go ahead and worship the Lord. Want to sing a little bit? You go ahead right there. Amen. And you just praise the Lord. Talk about Jesus. Amen.
Like a mighty rushing wind, Lord, move us. Like a river that flows, flow through us. Like a hot burning fire, consume us. Lord, touch us and make us like you. Oh, like a mighty rushing wind, Lord, move us. Like a river that flows, flow through us. Like a hot burning fire, consume us. Lord, touch us and make us like you. Oh, like a mighty rushing wind, Lord, move us. Like a river that flows, flow through us. Like a hot burning fire, consume us. Lord, touch us and make us like you. Like a mighty rushing wind, Lord, move us. Like a river that flows, flow through us. Like a hot burning fire, consume us. Lord, touch us and make us like you. Oh, like a mighty rushing wind, Lord. Like a river that flows, flow through us. Like a hot burning fire, consume us. Lord, touch us and make us like you. Oh, like a mighty rushing wind, Lord, move us. Like a river. Like you, oh, like a mighty rushing wind, Lord. like a river that flows, flow through us. Like a hot burning fire consume us. Lord, touch us and make us like you. Oh, like a mighty rushing wind, Lord, move us. Like a river that flows, flow through us. Like a hot burning fire consume us. Lord, touch us and make us like you. Like a mighty rushing wind, Lord, move us. Like a river. Like you, and let it begin in me, let it begin in me. My one desire, revival fire, give me strength to intercede for a great awakening. Oh Lord, let it begin in me, let it begin. Let it begin in me. My one desire, revival fire. Give me strength to intercede for a great awakening. Oh Lord, let it begin in me. Let it begin in me. Let it begin in me. My one desire, revival fire, give me strength to intercede for a great awakening. Oh Lord, let it begin in me. Oh, let it begin in me. Let it begin in me. My one desire is revival fire. Give me strength to intercede for a great awakening. Oh Lord, let it begin in me. Oh, like a mighty rushing wind, Lord, move us. Like a river that flows, flow through us. Like a hot burning fire, consume us. Lord, touch us and make us like you. Oh, like a mighty rushing wind, Lord, move us. Like a river that flows, flow through us. Like a hot burning fire, consume us. Lord, touch us and make us like you. Like a mighty rushing wind, Lord, move us. Like a river. Like a mighty rushing wind, Lord, move us. Like a river that flows, flow through us. Like a hot burning fire, consume us. Lord, touch us and make us like you. Oh, like a mighty rushing wind, Lord, move us. Like a river. Yeah. is like you. Oh, we pray, touch us and make us like you. Oh, Lord, mold you touch and make us like you.